This is an episode of News with Nick. We are pre-recorded on February 25th, 2022. Head on over to the website, newswithnick.com, click the episode title, and you can get a video version of the show. That's right, I'm back. For the February edition of the show, I suppose, or whatever you want to call this thing where I talk into a microphone and post it. It's my vlog. You know, everyone's got to have a outlet where they post their opinions. Most people's is their Facebook wall, and they go, I'm really mad at the Jets this year for trading all of their best draft picks for, I don't know, Julio Joe. Julio Joe. Anyway, so it's the show. You know, you're here, you listen. I mean, if you aren't here, then you're not listening. You can't hear me say this. So whatever. When I last left off, it was a quick 22-minute show because I felt the onset of a horrible thing occurring. And now there are many, many horrible things occurring, right? You know, this is why I don't do a show very often. My life's gotten pretty, pretty horrible. Now, I say that, and you would think, oh, man, someone died, or, like, you got cancer. No, nothing actually happened. Stocks went down a little bit, and I was like, no, stocks, what are you doing? Please, no, just... Russia's not going to invade. Don't go down. Right? My money. No, everything's great. Everything's going great. And however, at the end of the last show, I was feeling a little sick because on Tuesday I'd gotten exposed to, right, the fictional virus called COVID, but that if you don't believe in it, you can't get sick from it. Well, it turns out apparently I believed in it because it got me on Friday. And Saturday and Sunday, I did nothing but sat around. I was like, oh, man, I'm feeling not good. My head hurts. And then come Monday or Tuesday or whatever, my throat hurt real bad. Like, I couldn't even sleep because I couldn't swallow. Because every time I swallowed, my throat burned. I know all of you guys are like, yeah, when I had COVID, it was all those same things, right? Everyone's gotten it, right? So it wasn't a big deal. I mean, in the moment, it felt like a big deal. I was like, I'm going to be sick forever. This is terrible. Right? But I don't know. I probably still have long COVID, right? Every time I cough, it feels like there's more liquid in my throat than there used to be. Whatever liquid in my lungs, whatever that means. Like I go, like I cough like a real cancery guy. Sometimes my chest hurts right in the middle for some reason. It feels like if you got, you know, a stick hit your sternum and like, oh man, I'm bruised here. But it's felt like that for a month. And I'm still not 100% sure if I can run as fast as I used to. But this happens every winter also. It gets cold. Your lungs don't like the cold. You put on heavier clothes and more pants, like thicker pants, so you're already encumbered, right, while running. And I go, I'm super fat. I can't run anymore. Now I'm thinking, oh, I'm super fat plus I have COVID. Long COVID. I can't run anymore. So I guess we'll see. Maybe I'll get over it. We don't know. Or maybe my fast running days are over. Test overview. This test checks for SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes coronavirus disease, also called COVID-19. Man, how many more names are they going to give this thing? Also called Omicron 2AB, a respiratory illness. Your test results detected SARS-CoV-2. This positive test result means that you are highly likely to be infected with COVID-19. Most people with COVID-19 have mild symptoms. You can pass the infection to others through coughing, sneezing, and exhaling. It is very important to stay home and limit your interactions with others in your household and in public. Additional recommendations can be found below. So maybe that's the secret, is that when someone gets exposed or, convicted of COVID, what's the term? Diagnosed. Tested positive. Convicted. If they're convicted of COVID, you're supposed to like separate. Like, oh no, sleep in a different room or whatever. But I didn't do that. So I got the full you know, if how sick you get is related to how much of the virus you got exposed to, I got the full load. Let's say, wink. And so I don't know. I felt pretty bad. People are like, how was it? Congrats on being alive. LOLOL. I'm like, yeah, but I don't recommend it. I would not recommend getting COVID. And probably everyone's hypothetical question is, Nick, well, now that you got COVID, do you wish you've gotten the vaccine? Sure. No, I don't know. Actually, no, probably not. I mean, if there's a spectrum of anti-vaccine to I love the vaccine, my needle probably moved slightly away from don't get the vaccine toward get it. But I'm still like, whatever. We all knew the risks, right? I was laying there going, I'm so sick, but I deserve it. I did not believe hard enough. CDC to ease the masking recommendations for 70% of the country, including inside schools. Up to 70% of Americans will be able to remove their masks indoors, including inside schools, under new guidance to be released by the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention on Friday. Two sources familiar with the plans told ABC News. This is today. This is Friday. Under the new metrics in the updated guidance, more than half of the U.S. counties will be areas of low or medium risk and no longer recommended to wear masks, said two sources briefed on the plans but not authorized to discuss them ahead of the official announcement, so we're not going to say who they were. But they discussed it. They weren't authorized to. A CDC requirement that people continue to wear masks on public transportation will remain in force for now, according to one official. The official said the new guidance will consider three factors, new COVID hospitalizations, current... All right, we've seen this story before, right? It was, I don't know, over a year ago, it feels like now, that they said, okay, if you're vaccinated, no masks. No masks anymore. So now they're saying, okay, fine, no masks. Again, I mean, it's taken long enough, right? But maybe, I guess I'm back where I was a year ago. Like, maybe this really will end. Maybe we were all yelling for nothing.
Say today the city is more on edge than ever before. We've
That's
seen
not related at all to COVID masking. So why was that even a video on this thing? Yep. So the news is all over the place, right? L.A. to stop forcing masking indoors. Boston and New York City to stop having restaurants check vaccine statuses. Google to stop forcing their employees to be vaccinated. And it's like, oh, thanks. Okay. So now it's February, the middle of February, right? The vaccine enforcement probably went into place if you were one of the earliest customers of such a policy. Let's say November. I feel like that's pushing it. So December, January, February, 3 months. That how much energy was spent going, every single employee needs to be vaccinated or you're fired. We're going to spend millions of dollars to enforce this. So millions of dollars spent to track people down, to tell them they weren't vaccinated, fire them, and then go 3 months later, okay, that we don't need that anymore. What the heck? Why not just put them on leave if you cared that bad? Put them on leave for three or four. Okay, you're on leave until the risk is lower. You can choose to not be paid, but when you, well, I guess, I mean, some companies wouldn't want to put employees on leave and have them not work, right? That could have been nice, though. Now, again, some companies did do that. Some companies did say, okay, you're on unpaid leave. And hopefully those places are letting people come back now. Oh, man, if you'd even want to. Like, okay, thanks for thinking my blood was poison and my face was dangerous to you. Would you like to work on that project now? It's like, okay, whatever. What a mess. So I guess we'll see what happens. Like, are we really, are we done, or are we gearing up for the next? You know, we got to put this aside because we have something else to worry about, which I'll get to shortly. I was running the other day on one of the back roads here. I'm running, got my headphones in, and all of a sudden I hear like something huge to the left of me, right? I take off my headphones. Like, is it a bear? Is it a bear? I look into the woods. Two moose. Just trotting along. And I don't know what to do. I'm like, cool. This is awesome. So I go towards them a little bit, right? Toward the edge of the woods. And I think, maybe this isn't a great idea. they start going the opposite direction from the direction I was running. They appear to be like on a little trail. And I know this trail pops out onto the road just a little ways back. So I actually start like walking, running after the moose. Like, I want to see these guys. I want to see these moose. This is cool. They're not going to get me through the woods. That'd be nuts. So I go back and I watch them. I'm like, they're going to come out on the road. They're going to come out on the road. Get my phone out. Take a quick video of the two moose emerging from the woods. Maybe I'll post it on the show notes. They're huge animals. I've only seen a moose once before in my life, I'm pretty sure. So I tripled my moose seeing count in one moment. They come out of the woods, walking along, and one of them looks at me and stares at me. And I go, oh, no. What do they? I don't know what mooses do, right? When they see you and they don't like you. I assume they charge at you. So I go, yeah, okay. The only thing I've ever seen of a moose attacking is this guy on a video of a guy on a snowmobile, and he shot the moose. The moose started charging him, and he shot him dead right on the snowmobile trail. But I don't have a gunzo on me or any zo. I don't have any zos on me. So I just go, hee-hee, okay, bye. I start running in the opposite direction. I'm looking behind me every like 15 seconds. I'm expecting like one of these times I'm going to look behind me. It's going to be a moose in full sprint, antlers at my butt. But that didn't end up happening. They went on their way, I guess, in the other direction, and so did I. But I got a pretty cool video of a couple moose. You guys watch the Olympics? I say I love the Olympics every 4 years, but we got lucky because, well, in some ways we got lucky. We didn't get a 2020 Olympics, so we got a 2021 summer and then a 2022 winter. NBC scores are in. Record low Olympic ratings. NBC is no doubt happy to put the Beijing Winter Olympics in the rearview mirror, this article says. Why would that be? The games reach an average combined audience of 11.4 million people in primetime. That's the lowest ever American audience for any Olympics, and it's down 42% from the Pyongyang, South Korea, which is 4 years ago. For NBC alone, the primetime telecast reached an average of 9.3 million viewers, which is down 48%. So the above figure was all of their networks combined. The games never really captured the public imagination and were hurt by COVID-19 restrictions that had most of the NBC's announcers working half the world away in Connecticut. Yeah, people are hating the Olympics more and more, and okay, whatever. And a lot of people pretended to be like, oh, I'm going to boycott the Olympics because they're in China and China's doing really bad things. They're genociding. And I can't see how that could possibly be true because I watched the opening ceremony and they got the flag and they passed it down this line of all different people, like to demonstrate their diversity. And like, that seemed all very nice and stuff. And they seemed like very nice people. So I can't imagine they could do anything bad. I saw a meme about the Winter Olympic sports that pointed out that every sport in the Winter Olympics just involves sliding on snow or ice. We have alpine skiing, the biathlon, which is skiing and in the shooting thing. We have the bobsleigh, cross-country skiing, curling, sliding the rocks on ice, figure skating, freestyle skiing, ice hockey, luge, sliding a sled down a little tracky track, Nordic combined, which is skiing, short track speed skating, skeleton, which is luge but face first, ski jump, which by the way, luge, and they're like, okay, let's do the luge, but what if we face the other way? Okay, I want a new sport called a ball slidey, right? And your vehicle is a plastic, like cylinder, a plastic, not a cylinder, a plastic sphere, right? And you get a running start, and you got to jump in the sphere and close the top down, and then you roll down the track as quick as you can, ball rolly down track. We just think up things that we can jump on and slide down something, and then we say, oh, that's a cool new sport. Like luge has luge where you jump on the sled, and then it's got double luge. Okay, what if we take normal luge and then one guy lays on top of another guy And we do that, right? Like, how many, what if you did quadruple luge? That's not a sport yet, but why not? Like, just get four on top of each other. Skeleton, ski jumping, snowboard, and speed skating. So every sport in the Winter Olympics involves sliding on snow or ice, which I guess, I mean, what else would you have, right? Running while really cold, right? Okay, it's -5 degrees and we're going to have the sprint. I guess you could have like, what if you had snowshoeing, right? What if you had running through really deep snow? Like, okay, it's a foot of snow. No, that's not high enough. It's like 2 feet of snow and it's called the Eskimo sprint. What if they had alpining, like alpine rock climbing, like that movie on Netflix? They could have that. But no, every sport is sliding. So, crazy. Speaking of cold countries, on February 24th, 2022, Russia launched a large-scale invasion of Ukraine. I have no clue what's going on, but it's been on the front page of every news story, so I figured maybe we'd read what's going on. Its neighbor to the southwest, which is the bottom left, I guess, marking the largest escalation of the ongoing Russo-Ukrainian war that began in 2014. This campaign was preceded by a prolonged Russian military buildup beginning in early 2021. Putin, claiming that post-1997 enlargement of NATO is a security threat of Russia, demanded that Ukraine be legally prohibited from joining the military alliance of NATO. He cited historical injustices regarding the dissolution of the Soviet Union and claimed that Ukraine and its people are fundamentally part of Russia. Ideas which have been labeled Russian irredentism? Russian irredentism returns to... whatever. So Putin thinks that Ukraine should be part of Russia still, I guess. Days prior to the invasion, blah, 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 blah. Around 5 a.m. local time on 24th of February, Putin announced a special military operation in eastern Ukraine. Minutes later, missile strikes began at locations across Ukraine, including the capital, Kiev. So the capital, I'm pretty sure the capital is way inland from where the ground forces would be, right? So they're attacking the whole thing. They're just like, they're not just like, okay, we want to take this little piece here and you can have the rest. They appear to have flown in and attacked the capital. 2 hours later, Russian ground forces entered the country. What was the plan? Like, you attack the capital and they go, what was that? They turn around from the border and then the ground forces come in. Gotcha. The president of Ukraine responded by enacting martial law, severing diplomatic ties with Russia and announcing general mobilization. The invasion received widespread international condemnation, including sanctions being imposed on Russia, while anti-war protests in Russia were met with mass arrests. Wow! You can't protest in Russia? Let's see. On the afternoon of the invasion, the Investigative Committee of Russia issued a warning to Russians that they would face legal repercussions for joining unsanctioned protests related to the tense foreign political situation. The opposition activist, Marina Litvinenko, called on Instagram for street protests in the evening of February 24th. She was detained by police after she left her house. That evening, thousands took to the streets in cities across Russia to protest the war. The largest demonstrations were in Moscow. 2,000 protesters gathered. In St. Petersburg were the 1,000 protesters. Hundreds demonstrated in Yekaterinburg. Okay, so you can... apparently, it's illegal in Russia to protest against the war. Now, I like to be very dramatic and say stuff like, wow, in the U.S., we have no civil rights anymore because COVID, and you can't go to your friend's birthday party, or the police will come if there's 11 people. But on the other hand, at least we're not Russia, right? No, we can't be thinking like that. Otherwise, everything's just going to be like, well, at least we're not North Korea, right? Russia's probably like, well, yeah, I can't protest the war, but at least I have the full internet, unlike China, right? I don't know. Anyway, that's crazy. I didn't know that was a thing. I guess I could have assumed it was a thing, but it feels like so far away, like, who cares? Have you ever looked at Russia on a map? That thing is huge, right? Why do they want any more land? Just be like, we have enough land. What do you need? You need, you know, a new Grand Canyon? Start digging, because you could have probably 50,000 of them with how much land we have. The Chernobyl power plant has been captured by Russian forces. It's impossible to say that the Chernobyl nuclear power plant is safe after a totally pointless attack by the Russians, an advisor to the Ukrainian presidential office, Mykhailo Podolyak, said on Thursday. This is one of the most serious threats of Europe today. Russian troops took over the power plant in Ukraine while Ukraine forces battled them on three sides on Thursday after Moscow mounted an assault by land, sea, and air in the biggest attack on a European state since World War II. Some Russian military massed in the Chernobyl exclusion zone before crossing into Ukraine early on Thursday. Russia wants to control the Chernobyl reactor to signal NATO not to interfere militarily. Chernobyl is that, blah, blah, blah. So Chernobyl is, well, I mean, everyone knows what it is. It's a nuclear power plant, and it doesn't run anymore. As far as I know, I mean, I looked it up. They were like, no, we shut it down in 2000 for sure. It's a tourist attraction about a week before the Russian invasion. The Chernobyl zone was shut down for tourists. I didn't realize you could just go be a tourist, because you look up, Chernobyl exclusion zone, and they say, oh, yeah, this is going to be radioactive for like 20,000 years. It seems like it's poison, right? So if I were Ukraine, I would be like, oh, no, don't capture Chernobyl. Please, anything but Chernobyl. Oh, please don't take it. Please don't. Russia's like, we're taking it. We're taking it. No, please. Anything but that. All right, we got Chernobyl. Now what? Boss, I don't feel so good. All of Russian forces just build around Chernobyl, and then they are like full of radiation. So they either become super troopers, super duper soldiers, or they just all die out. Oh, no. Anything but Chernobyl. Was getting me a Dunkin' Donuts the other day, driving through the drive-thru, order a coffee. I get to the checkout window, reach out, and the lady says, you're all set. And I go, I'm all set, as she hands me my coffee. And she said, the lady in front of you paid for you. And I went, thank you. And then as I was driving away, I was thinking, so that's never happened before. I've never had that happen. The closest thing I've had that happen is at that time I was in the airport, and the waitress came up and said, someone paid your bill, which makes no sense. And to this day, I just assume that the waitress screwed up the system and didn't want to admit it. Like she forgot to enter the order into the bill into the system. Although, how could you get your food? If I've never worked in a restaurant. Maybe I will soon. Who knows? But anyway, so as you're driving away, I was thinking, am I supposed to pay for the person behind me? Because you always see these news stories of a 1,000 people paid for each other's Dunkin' Donuts. Oh, what a great moment. We were all crying. Everyone was literally crying for 8 hours straight. Every single person came through and said, I'll pay for the person behind me. If I was in that chain and they were like, 300 people have paid for the person behind them, I wonder, would I have the guts to say, no, I'm not paying for the person. This is silly. Pay for your own stuff. Probably not. I probably would pay. White father and son are charged with chasing and shooting at a black FedEx driver. The FedEx driver called police to report the shooting. He said he was told by the dispatcher that they had just received a call about a suspicious person at the same address. Two white men are facing criminal charges after a black FedEx driver alleged that he was being chased and shot at while delivering packages in Brookhaven, Mississippi. DeMonterio Gibson, 24, told CNN by phone he was delivering packages to a home around 7 p.m. on January 24th when he saw a white pickup truck coming from the house behind it. The truck started approaching Gibson and blowing the horn at him. The van Gibson was driving was a Hertz rental van. Oh, no. Oh, okay, so this is the problem here. The van Gibson was driving was a Hertz rental van that had two large Hertz stickers on the back. Gibson said Gibson's attorney told CNN that Gibson was wearing a FedEx jacket, shirt, and pants, but the vehicle had no FedEx markings. This happens, right? FedEx drivers are private contractors, so sometimes if their FedEx truck breaks, so they don't have one because, I don't know, can't afford a FedEx truck, you rent a truck. Gibson said he thought he was in the truck's way, so he tried to leave. The truck swerved around him and tried to cut him off. At that point, my instincts kicked in, and I swerve around him as he was trying to cut me off to avoid getting stuck in the neighborhood. Gibson said he drove down the street about two or three houses when a man in the middle of the road pointed a gun at his vehicle and was mouthing and waving for Gibson to stop. Gibson said he shook his head no, indicating he wasn't going to stop, and then hid behind his steering wheel while he swerved around him. Gibson heard at least five or six shots, heard the bullets hitting the van. As he was leaving the neighborhood, Gibson said one of his managers called, and he told the manager someone was shooting at him. Hey, boss, I'm a little busy right now. Boom, 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 boom. She told him to get back to the station as fast as he could. So he gunned it, GTA style, went over a jump. All the packages fly out. The truck, now with both men inside. Oh, wow. This is the white truck from the, not the FedEx truck. The truck, now with both men inside, chased Gibson out of Brookhaven into the interstate. If you're these guys in the truck, are you not thinking, oh, this feels like something like this happened in the news relatively recently. Maybe we shouldn't. Or are they thinking, yeah, we're going to be like those two other guys? Or does this happen so frequently in neighborhoods like this that we don't think it happens, that only when we have the Ahmads that it hits the news that you're like, what a crazy situation. You would chase a guy out of your neighborhood using your truck and your guns. And the people in the neighborhood are like, yeah, that happens like every Tuesday. This is normal. It just happened to be in the news this time. According to affidavits, Gregory Case was driving the truck chasing Gibson, and Brandon Case was the man in the street pointing the gun at Gibson. It's always two brothers. Brookhaven Police Chief Kenneth Collins confirmed to CNN that Gregory is Brandon's father. That's what I just said. Brandon is charged with feloniously attempting to cause bodily injury with a firearm and a deadly weapon. Gregory is charged with unlawfully and feloniously conspiring with Brandon to commit aggravated assault by attempting to cause bodily injury. Blah, blah, blah. Once Gibson left Brookhaven and felt safe, he called another FedEx manager who said they would file a police report. Gibson said at one point, the dispatcher cut him off and asked whether he had been at a certain address. Gibson said he had. The dispatcher told Gibson that they had just received a report of a suspicious person at that address. Gibson told dispatch he wasn't a suspicious person. Well, okay. Well, that solved. I'm not suspicious. He was a FedEx worker and he was doing his job. After he returned to the station, he and his manager found bullet holes in the van and in the packages. He filed a report with FedEx that night. Do you still get your package, or does that become police evidence? Mom, where's my PlayStation? It got shot. It's now with the police. You're never getting it. I do wonder, like, when, you know, a FedEx truck crashes and there's just tons of packages. Because I've never not gotten a package and been like, I wonder what happened. And it found, and like, oh, it's on the side of the road. That could be a lot of money worth of stuff. Like, you can ship some pretty expensive stuff. Oh, well. I guess the world just deals with it. Like, okay, there's a pile of packages. Speaking of Ahmad, group these ones together. We got a trial outcome. Now, you may think, I already heard this, the three guys that were convicted of shooting Ahmaud Arbery. But these guys, luckily, or whatever, you know, if they are in jail and they're like, man, I'm bored. I really wish I could go to another trial. Well, good luck for them. They got to go to another trial. Marcus Arbery, the father of Ahmaud Arbery, said Wednesday after a slew of racist text messages and social media posts had been read in court during the federal hate crimes trial that the three men convicted of killing his son that had been hard, but he was glad the world can see it. I knew all the hate that was in those men. Okay, so originally we were thinking that, okay, Ahmaud Arbery, suspiciously enters a home under construction and then starts running down the street. And these guys follow him and shoot him. Okay, don't follow and shoot people, right? But maybe it was just a case of mixed up, you know, we got scared, we shot him by accident, I'm so sorry. We're not racists. Okay. But on Wednesday, an FBI analyst took the stand in Brunswick, Georgia, and went through a series of racist texts and posts as prosecutors sought to establish a racial animus in the chase and murder. The texts and posts presented by the analyst communicated an open contempt for black people, including the frequent use of slurs and declarations of violent intent. Journalists in the courtroom for the trial noted that in one reply to an online video, which showed a black man putting barbecue sauce on a white man's head as a prank, the analyst said that Travis McMichael replied, "I'd kill that effing N word." In one reply on a Facebook video showing black teenagers, McMichael reportedly wrote, "My Taurus 38 handgun says five of them would be taking a dirt nap. I'd shoot all of them, effing those G monkeys. Goddamn." McMichael often referred to using weapons against black people and was the source of many of the most viciously racist communications. Oh, my goodness. According to pool notes. Oh, I'm floating in the pool. No, it's the media pool. He also made reference to black people as animals, monkeys, and subhuman savages. He allegedly used the N-word in several texts, including messages to a friend at a bar and complaining about black people being there. They ruin everything. That's why I love what I do. Not an N-word in sight. Wow. Turns out they really were racist. I didn't even believe it. Maybe stuff is as clear as it seems. Three white people chase down a black guy and shoot him. Everyone goes, "Wow, they're so racist." And we're like, "Are you sure?" And it turns out they were. So I don't know. I guess maybe we need to stop overthinking everything. Maybe just do what it looks like from now on. We'd save so much time. And Ahmaud Arbery Day is officially recognized in Georgia on the second anniversary of Arbery's death. So now in Georgia, February 23rd is officially permanently recognized as Ahmaud Arbery Day.
There has been a lot of change for the better. Georgia legislators' repeal of the citizens arrest law, Georgia's new hate crime law, which was implemented back on June 26th of 2020.
Boring.
When we hear the name of Ahmaud Arbery, we will now hear and think of change. The founding of the Ahmaud Arbery Foundation and the focus on raising awareness, education, and advocacy for mental wellness for black boys.
All right, let's go on to some news stories. What else is going on here? Oh yeah, so remember that kid in Michigan? A judge Thursday ordered the parents of a 15-year-old boy charged with killing four students at his Michigan high school to stand trial on involuntary manslaughter charges. So this is Ethan Crumbly, right? He went to school and did a little shooting, but this is the first time that we're really seeing parents of a shooter have to be in trouble for it. Usually it's like, man, I had no idea Dylan could do such a thing, right? Rochester Hills District Court Judge Julie Nicholson said following a preliminary examination that she found enough evidence to send their case to the circuit court. They are charged with involuntary manslaughter and accused of making the gun used in the shooting available to the teen. The couple is also accused of failing to intervene when he showed signs of mental distress at home and school. The gun used in the shooting was given to Ethan Crumbly as an early Christmas present, prosecutor said. What? He's 15. I'm only 15. The court finds that the deaths of the four victims could have been avoided if James and Jennifer Crumbly exercised ordinary care and diligence in the care of their son. Nicholson said prosecutors showed Ethan Crumbly presented a danger to the community, and that danger was apparent to an ordinary mind. He's a troubled young man, and his parents knew it, but they purchased a gun which he believed was his. The Crumbly's attorneys insisted the couple didn't know their son might plan an attack and didn't make the gun easy to find in their home. But Oakland County Prosecutor Karen McDonald said Thursday that Ethan Crumbly reached out to the parents for help. While no help was forthcoming, The coming trouble was foreseeable, she said. Well, I mean, they did help, right? They got him a gun. What kind of help did he want? Mom and dad? So wait, I don't understand. It was given to Ethan as an early Christmas present, but then the attorneys said that they didn't make the gun easy to find. So are they arguing two separate points? Are the prosecutors saying, you gave that right to him. You were like, here comes Santa Claus. Here comes Santa Claus right down the gun road with a gun for my son to go to the school and bang, 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 right? Or were, and then the lawyers are like, no, 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 they hit that thing. But I don't, see, that seems to be like a very, I'm still laughing at my song. Just made that up. It's not good. It wasn't that good either. All right. Well, no help was forthcoming. The coming trouble was foreseeable. You're allowed to be a terrible parent, McDonald said. And if that's all this was, we wouldn't be here. McDonald must be the prosecutor. On the morning of the shooting, Ethan's parents were summoned to the school and confronted with his drawings, which included a handgun and the words, "The thoughts won't stop. Help me." Authorities said the parents refused to take him home after the 13-minute meeting. This happened on the morning of the shooting? Okay. All right. Well, that's pretty incriminating. Ethan's counselor testified Thursday that he told the teen's parents at that meeting that he believed their son was a threat to himself and needed mental health support. I said as soon as possible, today if possible, Sean Hopkins said, but he testified Jennifer Crumley told him today is not an option because they have to go back to work. I wrote Ethan a pass back to class, Hopkins continued. I told him, I just want you to know I care about you. I don't remember them saying goodbye to him. Prosecutors alluded to a disconnect between Ethan and his parents, including texts he made to a friend in which he talks about his dark side. In a text on April 5th, 2021, Ethan wrote to his friend, my mom thinks I take drugs. Like, she thinks the reason why I'm so mad and sad all the time is because I take drugs, and she doesn't worry about my mental health. Then he writes, they make me feel like I'm the problem. Testimony was also given Thursday about what was written in a journal found in Ethan's backpack following the shooting. Authorities have said the gun used in the shooting was hidden in the backpack that day. Entry dated November 29th. He said, first off, I got my gun. Second, the shooting is tomorrow. I have access to the gun and the ammo. Another page featured a drawing of a bullet being fired into the back of what appears to be a person's head. Just above it, it says, the first victim has to be a pretty girl with a future so she can suffer like me. Was this guy Elliot Roger fella? I have fully mentally lost it after years of fighting with my dark side. My parents won't listen. I have zero help with my mental problems. It's causing me to shoot up the fucking school, he wrote. Is he crazy? Or is he a genius? And he's writing a ton of letters saying, my parents won't help me. This is my parents' fault. They think I'm the problem. They think I'm on drugs. They won't help me. They won't help me. Bang, bang, bang. Suddenly, the parents are arrested. The kid. Oh, sorry, Ethan. We failed you. You're free to go. Wow. How crazy would that be? I mean, that's not really how the system works, but like, and then he waltzes off and he goes away crying. Like, I can't believe I did this. I can't believe I was so crazy. And then as soon as he's out of sight of the prosecutors waving to him, bye, Ethan, he goes, he, got him. And he smiles and he looks at the next school. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Don't send this to the police. That was just a joke. Oh, my goodness. That was seriously just a joke. Ethan, if you're listening, streammyshooting.com, and we will get you hooked up. Remember, that's a site where we trick them into telling us the plans. Ooh, boy. More than 400 Family Dollar stores closed after over 1,000 dead rodents were found at an Arkansas plant. This is going to be amazing.
Tonight, more than 400 Family Dollar stores remain closed. The discount retailers trying to recover from a widespread rodent infestation at its distribution center in West Memphis, Arkansas.
Oh, my goodness. They've highlighted six states on this map or something like that. More than 400 Family Dollar stores remain closed Monday after more than 1,000 dead rodents were found at a distribution facility in West Memphis, Arkansas. You guys are acting like 1,000 dead mice is a big deal. I had more than that in a summer. The dead rodents were found after a fumigation at the Discount Realtors Distribution Center. The company said it was not aware of any customer complaints or illnesses linked to the problems. Okay, so they set off the poison. They find a bunch of dead mice or rats, and they go, ooh, gross. So now what?
The stores are in six states across the South. Family Dollar has issued a voluntary recall for many products sold at those stores. The company says it is not aware of any customer complaints or illnesses linked to the problem.
So there's no
problem.
Tonight,
more than 400 Family Dollar stores.
So there's no problem. Yeah. If you go to any store with dollar in the name, yeah, there's going to be a couple products that have mice in them. It's not a big deal. Oh, man, we got a couple more stories to get to here. Speeding through them. Florida mom finds her toddler locked inside daycare after workers left for the day. Authorities are investigating a Florida daycare center where a mother found her two-year-old daughter alone and locked inside after workers left for the day. Stephanie Martinez arrived at the KinderCare Learning Center north of Miami at about 4:30 p.m. She saw the child through the window of the front door. She called 911. The room appears dark, and Martinez can be heard telling the dispatcher that she could see her daughter crying. There's a picture of the kid. There's a picture of the kid standing inside the room. So it appears that the mom, could get inside the larger building, right, where the daycare is housed. But when she got to the door, which, you know, like an office door or a door to another room, that it's locked, and all the lights are off. And there's just a kid staring through the window.
Outraged tonight after a two-year-old is left alone and scared inside a South Florida daycare. When the child's mother came to pick up her daughter, the doors were locked. NBC6 reporter Julie Leonardi spoke to that mother about that terrifying moment. She joins us live from Plantation. Julie.
Yeah, Juwan, you can only imagine the sheer panic that was going through that mom's mind when she came here to this daycare center in Plantation to pick up her two-year-old daughter. When she got here, the lights were off, the doors were locked. She tells me she was in disbelief that her baby was locked inside.
She's super traumatized. It's not fair.
Honey,
we got several
more
minutes
okay?
of this. Oh, she can't get through. Oh, the picture looked like she was in the building, but I think that maybe she's not in the building, because now when the video plays, you can see that there's actually two doors between where the mom is standing and where the kid is. So she's peering through one door that has lights on, and the next door. Imagine you get there like, hello. They're all closed up. What the heck? It's a good thing the kid even came to the window, or the mom would be like, where is my kid at all?
Honey. I'm coming, okay?
911, what is the address of the emergency?
A mom in sheer panic and terror as she shows up to her child's daycare in Plantation, only to find the doors locked and the lights off.
She's inside the daycare. She just came up to the door.
She's inside by herself?
Yeah, she's crying. She's inside by herself.
Oh, wow. Stephanie Martinez says she pulled up to KinderCare on Sunrise Boulevard just before 6:30 to pick up her two-year-old daughter, Anastasia, and no one was there.
Banging on the doors, on the windows and on the doors
Yikes.
To see if she could hear me. She finally...
Some teenager really messed up and probably shut this place down. Embarrassing. Hey, Sarah, when you went home last night, there was kind of still a kid there.
Okay. Poked her head out in one of the window doors, and I completely lost it.
Plantation police and firefighters responded, prying the door open to rescue Anna. Martinez says her daughter was able to push a chair next to the window and stand up to get her mom's attention.
Wow, what a smart kid.
Like, you feel helpless. Like, you can't do anything to, like, console her. She was... definitely stressed out, definitely was crying that whole time that she was there by herself.
KinderCare Corporate says while we're thankful the child was quickly found and was safe, this incident should not have happened. We take all concerns about children's safety seriously and follow a specific protocol anytime an issue is raised.
Nobody should ever go through this. You pay to put somebody's, you know, your trust, you pay for trust, and they completely, like, voided that. Like, I have no words for that. Like, I'm still in shock right now.
Now, the police report says that this daycare center typically closes at 6, but those two employees usually stay for those parents that come around late. They also say they use an iPad to check off those kids' names, so still really unclear what happened here. But we know BSO's Child Protective Services, they're investigating. Plantation Police, they're all...
You know, when something happens one day and it kind of blends together, they're like, she's not checked off in the iPad. Did that mom come and did we just not check it off? And they're like, yeah, she did come. I remember. But really, they're remembering the day before, but the kid was hiding in the sand pit. But wow, she was smart enough to get a chair and push it up against the door and look out and be like, hello, I'm in here. What's the worst that could... She would have been there all night, and then the next day, they would have been like, oh, you're here early. Oklahoma City. Serious allegations are being made against an Oklahoma Democratic congressional candidate involving a party, alcohol, and middle school girls being verbally assaulted. You think, wow, this guy's nuts. This guy is hanging out with a bunch of middle school girls and is verbally assaulting them. But no! It's a lady. Abby Broyles. A current 5th congressional district seat candidate who made a name for herself as a blah, 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 is the center of the storm. Let's go to the actual source. There was a party held at the home of a Deer Creek public school parent on February 11th, included 8 girls between the ages of 12 and 13. Broyles was allegedly at the home the night of the party at the invitation of the homeowner. Okay, so one of the girls' moms knows the lady. Said, come on over. There's going to be... My kids are having a party. You come on over. Have some wine. According to multiple accounts of the evening, Broyles became intoxicated and spoke derogatorily to some of the girls. She allegedly called one girl and... Oh, my goodness. They can post this word in the news? Cover your ears. She allegedly called one of the girls an acne effer, which prompted the girl to leave the room in tears. Broyles allegedly then called another girl a Hispanic effer and another a judgy effer. So she's using, you know, the bad word that starts with F as a noun and then calling them all like, okay, you have acne, so you're an acne effer. At one point, Broyles allegedly vomited into a laundry basket and onto one of the girl's shoes. Sarah Matthews, whose daughter attended the party, outlined some of Broyles' alleged behavior in a Twitter thread Wednesday that tagged her account. Oh, my goodness. We have the Twitter thread right now. Sarah Matthews says, at Abby Broyles, since it's been 5 days and you have neglected to reach out to any of the young ladies who are 12 and 13, you verbally and emotionally abused them last weekend. I thought I would give you a chance to try to apologize at a minimum here. For someone who pontificates to be an undyingly pro-woman, I am disgusted by your behavior and I find it appalling. You couldn't understand why their parents are angry. You're vile, cruel, and bigoted behavior should not be excused or swept under the rug. Not only did you scare and traumatize these beautiful girls with your words, you ruined a pair of their shoes with your vomit. Considering how much you bragged about how rich and successful you are to these children, surely you can afford to replace her shoes. Oh my goodness. This is amazing. Both Matthews and her 12-year-old daughter discussed the situation thoroughly with non-doc. Another parent, who asked not to be named, corroborated the story based on details provided by her daughter after the party. Text messages from the homeowner outlining and apologizing for Broyles' actions were also provided by multiple people. In a phone conversation, the homeowner also confirmed that Broyles had caused an incident of magnitude. Okay. Yeah, we had an incident of magnitude. The towel rack is off the wall. We had a little drunk situation. Thanks for fat. Funny. So that's what happens when an old lady goes and hangs out with a bunch of kids. And I say old lady, she's probably younger than me. This concludes the show. Thanks for coming, everyone. Has been News with Nick. Head on over to the website newswithnick.com and check out all of the shows. listen to them multiple times. That'll drive my stats up. Need more clicks from the advertisers because, you know, those advertisers are, they pay good money to be on the show. Advertisers such as, I don't know, wine that you drink and then vomit into a kid's shoes. At the website newsandpick.com, you can put your phone number in the top right corner. You'll get a text message as long as that system still works. I guess I'll check on it. You'll get a text message when there's a new show posted, when we feel like going live, when things like that happen. So, I don't know. It's winter. Life's pretty funny. The Winter Olympics should include having to run while really cold. See, because that's what I'm thinking. Like, you're really cold, so you run slower, is what I think. I'm like, well, hopefully when summer comes around, I'm fast again. But it'd be funny to see, okay, it's negative 10, it's the Olympics, you guys have to run. But then you could get frozen, you know, body part syndrome, like that one guy. If you want to news.google.com, that one. All right, well, good luck to, you know, good luck to Russia or Ukraine or whatever. So the news is all like, oh, well, Russia is bad. Russia is invading Ukraine. If you want to donate, wink, if you want to donate to Ukraine, you can go to this website and they'll buy guns, they'll buy body armor. Where do I donate to Russia, huh? Can you? Or is it only Russia bad? Why is the news full of information of saying Russia bad, Russia bad? COVID's going away. Russia bad is going up. And you know what else Russia does? Cyber attacks, right? And you know what happens when cyber attacks start, right? The internet says, or the government says, wear your cyber masks or else your grandma will get scammed.